The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Rolien, good afternoon. How are you?
Well, listen, I've been accused of many things, but organizing the traffic is a new one.
Organizing the time change and spot on. That was pretty good, don't you think?
That was, that was precise.
Meduyak meod. Rolien, talk to us about what's happening in Israel. Apparently the IDF accuses the Islamic Jihad of firing rockets.
Well, yes, last night we had another firing of a rocket from the Gaza Strip aimed at Israeli territory, this time landing in the Mediterranean Sea. And the IDF today accusing Islamic Jihad of firing the rocket. And what they've done in reprisal is that they have scaled back the permitted fishing zone from 15 nautical miles to 6 until further notice. And this is as per the COGAT unit, the coordinator of government activities in the territories. Now, many of you will remember over the couple of weeks ago, we had a massive barrage of rockets from the Gaza Strip, some reaching as far as Tel Aviv and beyond, one which destroyed a house and injured a family of 7. And it really took us to the brink. Many of us thought that this was it. We're going to see yet another conflagration with our southern neighbors, and it came just before the elections. And the IDF have accused Islamic Jihad, which is the second most powerful terror entity in the Gaza Strip, of trying to break this very, very fragile ceasefire that is in place. And Islamic Jihad are extremely powerful, second only to Hamas, who have a larger arsenal of rockets and mortar shells. And the IDF, you know, breaking with keeping a lot of things under wraps, actually specifically named a commander. His name is Baha Abu al-Atta. He is a commander who they say is responsible for the group's activities in northern Gaza. And
Rolien, does Hamas exert any control or influence whatsoever over Islamic Jihad?
Well, the thing is, Hamas are in quite an interesting conundrum, because they are the ones that are tasked with keeping everybody in check. You know, Hamas were elected as leaders of the Gaza Strip, believe it or not, through elections. I don't know how democratic they are when you really don't have much competition. Am I right? But it is up to Hamas to rein in these terror elements. And while Hamas are not above using genocidal and threatening language, yeah, they know it's not in their best interest to invite a war onto the Gaza Strip. They know that they are far outweighed by Israeli military might. And if they are to have any kind of legitimacy, which is what they are kind of seeking in the global arena, they know that they are going to have to rein this in. So while they still want to keep the street, so to speak, in Gaza, they are going to want to have to rein in elements like Islamic Jihad. Having said that, there are massive protests that have been taking place across the Gaza Strip because citizens have had enough of the reign of terror that Hamas are intent on.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. The people are suffering yet again. Rolien, let's move on to the interesting news that the 21st Knesset has been sworn in, or will be sworn in. What's the story?
Okay, so as we speak, the 21st Knesset, which has finally decided on or voted in which portfolios go where, we still don't know. Those are still under negotiation. But the 120-seated 21st Knesset has been sworn in. In fact, President Reuven Rivlin opened this about an hour or so ago, speaking about the election, speaking about that it's time to rise above the tactics of the elections, time to rise above some of the sentiments, some that were leveled at Israel from outside, saying, you know, criticizing our democratic process and so on. And he's opened that and is being followed by the Speaker of the Knesset, Yuli Edelstein, who reprises this position for the third consecutive time. He's such a pro at it. We wouldn't want Yuli anywhere else. And, you know, could he be prime minister one day? Who knows?
Raleen,
I don't have those secrets, but we really wish the Knesset bahatzlacha and everything of the best, and hope that the session going forward will be a productive one, and that we don't go to early elections over any kind of issue anytime soon.
You don't yet have a government, though, do you?
We don't have a government. Well, we have a parliament, but we don't have a government, if that makes any sense. We don't know who's going to be who in the proverbial ministerial zoo, but they have until just after Yom HaAtzmaut to get it in check, and hopefully we will know soon. This is when the real negotiations and horse trading begins, is once the elections are done and dusted, and whoever wants whatever particular portfolio will now jostle for that particular position.
So whilst we don't know the details, what we do know is Netanyahu will be the next prime minister and the head of a right coalition, or centre-right, however you want to describe it.
Well, what we do know is until the Attorney General decides otherwise, and he's actually said that an elected official is not above the long arm of the law, and we've seen it before with presidents who have been brought to trial, but as it stands, Benjamin Netanyahu taking his position as Israel's longest serving prime minister for his fifth term. And it remains to be seen how we proceed forward from here, who will have which portfolios. We do have murmurings that some of the more right-leaning ones, the justice and the education ministry. We know that Kahlon, who was the former finance minister, wants to retain that portfolio. Who will have the coveted and very important portfolio of foreign minister? We don't know yet. And defense minister, although my money, and I think the smart money, would be on Benny Gantz or Bogi Yaalon to take those, take the defense portfolio, given their history and given their experience. But what we do know is that Kahol V'Lavan will form the opposition to the majority in the Knesset.
And in the remaining time, Raleen, talk to us about the latest updates from San Diego, Poway, the shooting.
Okay, so updates as of today, and I really urge if you're on Facebook or anywhere near Google, to Google the spectacular op-ed written by Rabbi Yisrael Goldstein. I've got it on my Facebook page today. Just, you know, when he talks about shedding light to drown out the darkness, he absolutely exemplifies it. But today, the victim of this horrific shooting, this horrific hate-driven shooting, Laurie Gilbert, Kezichona Libracha, laid to rest. And we've heard it just about how exceptional a soul, just how exceptional an neshama she is. And then Sam and Kathy, it wouldn't be a Israel report if I didn't whip out the soapbox. But adding on to yesterday's discussion about the cartoon featured in the New York Times, the New York Times has ended their deal with the syndicators that provided them with the aforementioned cartoon. We've also heard from the cartoonist, who doesn't understand how it is perceived as anti-Semitic.
Oh, come on. Come on. Seriously.
But I just have to have a second on my soapbox, because on
because
social
what would
media
it be if you didn't get on your soapbox, Raleen? Okay, tell us.
Exactly. I warned you this morning, guys, and I'm
you
putting
did.
It out.
You did.
But we've been called small-minded, we've been called oversensitive, and of course my favorite explanation, but dogs are superior to humans. While I do believe that sometimes, I just want to make mention, don't tell us, the Jews, what is anti-Semitic, and don't try to gaslight this or condescend to us by telling us that we are small-minded if we are offended by this.
If you want to find out if something is Islamophobic, you don't ask anybody who isn't a Muslim.
Exactly.
You have to ask the people at whom that form of racism is directed. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
See,
thank
Kathy's
you.
Always placed for you next to me on the soapbox.
My dear, there certainly isn't.
Rolene, thank you. We'll catch up with you same time tomorrow.
God bless. Tomorrow, same time.
All right. God bless. Cheers, Rolene. Bye.